Hallelujah. I got a really nice Resurrection Day sermon that I am not going to preach this morning. But it's nice. It's a good one. I can feel confident and say that since I'm not going to say it. I would like to draw our attention to Isaiah chapter 53. This was in my very nice Resurrection Day sermon. Isaiah 53, specifically with verse 4 through 6. And Isaiah obviously was prophesying here about the coming Messiah, Jesus the Christ. I mean, can you just fathom that for a moment? Jesus, the very Son of God, exists with God in heaven before. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he emptied himself. Didn't see being equality, having equality, even though he was equal with God, equality with God is something to be held on to or grasped. But he emptied himself. In other words, he, devoid of all, not the title, but he chose to be a man, human being. I think there's a lot of misconception about who Jesus really was, how he really lived on this earth. He didn't function as God. He functioned, lived as man. You know, Jesus referred to himself as Son of Man more than any other title. Showing that he really was man. He emptied himself, limiting himself. He chose to limit himself to all of the human weaknesses and limitations, just like you and I. I mean, that's just amazing to me. I mean, you know, if I die before, you know, when I die, I don't want anybody calling me back. Yeah. Don't call me back. I mean, can you imagine that when you're in heaven and I will go, Father, I will become a baby. I mean, how many of you would want to start over just as a baby and go through your childhood and the teenage? Yeah, just a couple of the younger ones. I didn't see anybody over the age of 20 say, yeah, I'd like to do all that. Let's just do it again. Whew. But no, he gave that up. He came to earth, limiting himself to all human weakness and limitations. Having to put his care in his mom and his stepdad to feed him, change his diapers if they had those back then, whatever the cloth. Dear Lord, thank you for advancement. Feed him and do all the things, nurture him and raise him. His body was subject to sickness like our bodies are subject to sickness. He could have sinned, but he chose not to. You know, when the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, it wouldn't have been a temptation if he couldn't have sinned. I mean, that was just all for show if you don't believe he could have sinned. It's just amazing. The life that he lived, completely, just like us, completely submitted to the Father. I mean, he even said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I can only say what I hear him saying. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by how? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Just amazing. Knowing the torture, the beating, and the ugliness of the cross, he submitted, saying, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Now, he didn't do it for him. He did it for us. He did it for us. The Bible says he became sin. All sin was on him, past, present, and future. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, paid the price for that sin that I would have committed and will commit in the future. It's already been paid for. I mean, what did he mean when he hung on the cross and the last words coming out of his mouth? It's finished. What did he mean? Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 4. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Let's just dissect this. Can we dissect this verse for just a moment here, and let's define some of these words. Surely our griefs, what are our griefs? I'm going to do part, I guess, my prepared really nice Resurrection Day sermon. Do you have that PowerPoint, Rich? Griefs are sickness, disease, sufferings, and anxieties. But maybe I need to read this again. Surely our sickness, disease, and sufferings and anxieties he bore. Amen. And our sorrows means anguish and pain. Our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. What does transgressions mean? Rebelliousness, disobedience, and the guilt that comes with it. You know, the blood of Christ, the Bible says the blood of Christ, it is the only thing that can cleanse our conscience of all shame, guilt. I mean, that's just an amazing. There's no drug that's been manufactured to be able to do that, to cleanse our conscience from these things. He was crushed for our iniquities, our blame. Iniquities means blame, punishment, evil, the perversity, and the offense against the law of God. This word first shows up when Cain, you remember when Cain killed his brother, and God came to him and spoke to him, and Cain cried out, and he said, "My punishment is too great for me." The punishment that was really ours. The punishment that Cain was taking was too great. Now notice this. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. This word well-being means wholeness, completeness, and peace. He does a complete work. It is finished. He did everything. He's provided it all for us. He's taken our sickness, our disease, our sufferings, our anxieties, our anguish, our pain, our rebelliousness, disobedience, guilt, the blame, the punishment that we deserve, the evil, the perversity, the offense against God's law. All of it he took upon himself and nailed it to the cross. Is anybody excited about that at all? Let me read this verse a different way. Surely our sickness, disease, sufferings, and anxieties he himself bore, and our anguish and pain he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our rebelliousness and disobedience and guilt. He was crushed for our punishment, blame, perversity, and evil. The chastening of our wholeness, completeness, and peace fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed, not just physically, emotionally, spiritually, complete, spirit, soul, and body. All of us, verse 6 says, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused all of our offense against the law of God to fall on him, and it is finished. Glory be to God. all of our hope. I mean, we think about this too. You know, Allah didn't die for Muslims. No God, no idol died and gave their life for another human being except Jesus Christ our Lord. We are the only ones in Christianity that have a God that gave his life, transferred all of the guilt, the sin, the sickness, the disease. You know what that means? My sickness, my disease, my sin, everything that I had, Jesus said, let me take it. He made a transaction and transferred all of my junk to him. And when I accepted him by faith, he transferred his righteousness to me. He didn't say I had to go to church for 14 years to get it. I don't have to read my Bible 14 hours a day to achieve it.
That's right.
He just said, would you just accept it?
That's it.
Would you just receive it? That's it. That's all I got to do. That's it. And it is finished. So how about we just start living like it's finished? It's already done. I want to tell you a story. There was a father and he had a couple sons. They had this big farm, many hired hands. One son was a couple years older, the other son being a younger son. You ever heard that expression? Like they talk about horses feeling his oats. You know what that means? Anybody heard that expression? Okay, those of you that are like 40 and over have heard it, but the other... You know, when a horse eats oats, they get kind of wild and crazy, and they're just jumping all around and stuff. So the younger son was feeling his oats. Yeah, places to go, things to do. Got tired of working on dad's farm. So he wanted everything that belonged to him. that he preached about. And he talked about the kingdom. And he had such an intimate personal relationship with his Father. He was so different from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and anything else that they've ever seen or heard before. You ever had preconceived ideas? Expectations that were unmet? See, what they didn't understand at the time is Jesus had a much better way. See, Jesus wasn't just interested in Rome. He was interested in the world. The entire world. He was not just interested in Jews coming to salvation, but everybody. All men of every race, of every nation, of every tongue. And so if you have not ever given your life to the Lord, what does that even mean? I was like that younger son in the story. I had nowhere else to go. I tried everything. I ran out of options. And it's too bad, it's very sad that too many humans have to get to that point. We've tried everything, we've done everything, we don't have any options. Backs against the wall. But you don't have to get to that point. You don't have to go that far. You can choose Him today. He really loves you. He really paid the price with His very life, the value of Jesus Christ. He really became a man. He really walked this earth. He really was subject to all of the limitations and the weaknesses that we are today. He's our high priest that can identify with us. He was tempted in every aspect like we are. He understands. He knows where you're at. He knows what's happened to you. He knows what's going on the inside of you. He doesn't ask you to do anything else except just receive it. Just accept His love. It's free. Oh, it can't be that easy. It is that easy. He doesn't ask you to go get cleaned up. Go take a shower first. He doesn't say stop doing this and start doing that first. I've mentioned it many times when I encountered the love of God. I was doing drugs. I even had cocaine on me. At the moment God embraced me and I had an encounter with the love of God, at that moment I had cocaine on me. And do you know what God said about that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know why? When He came the first time, He came in reference to sin and He paid the price and it's done. Now when He comes, it's not in reference to sin. Amen. And the Bible's very plain in the book of Hebrews. When He returns the second time, He's not coming in reference to sin. Amen. It's already been paid for. Amen. It's been done. Sin is just a symptom of an issue with the soul. It's a heart condition. That's all sin is. It's just a symptom. And too often we want to deal with the symptoms and God wants to go to the heart. Praise the Lord. Would you all stand, please? Sorry to keep you guys standing here so long. I'm just going to ask you if you would come down. If you can make two lines in each aisle. And Rich will have is there a bread and cup for both? And so will Ricardo. So if you just want to kind of make two lines, come down. And if you could return to your seat with the elements, and then we'll all take communion together. I like the word communion. Because it's a common, it's two words brought together, common union. And we are identifying with Christ in our common union with Him and our common union with one another. Did I make it chaotic? I got the answer to that. Everybody just run up, grab some stuff, and back to the seat. Glory be to God. You know, the Bible says that demons believe in Jesus and they shudder. To be born again is not just taking a mental assent and acknowledging that Jesus exists. Because demons do that. Muslims believe Jesus exists. Hindus, Buddhists. Most people believe Jesus exists. But it's who He really is. His true identity. And it's not just believing that He exists. It's encountering Him and accepting the love that He offers, the forgiveness that He offers. That causes us to be born again. For God to create in us a brand new spirit. As the Bible says, we become new creatures, a new creation. So if you've never really made that decision, never invited the Lord into your heart, never accepted that free gift of love, you can do it today. Today can be your resurrection day. You could be resurrected to newness of life this day, this hour. Wouldn't that be awesome? You can celebrate at the same time of year all the time. Same as the Lord's. To newness of life. Glory be to God. Well, the Bible says the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You can take the bread. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Father, we thank you for your broken body and for the blood, your blood that was spilled on the cross. Every drop, you did it for us, for our freedom, for our liberty, for our healing, for our forgiveness. We are grateful, Lord. We thank you. May you be glorified this day. May you be honored. And all those that eat the bread and drink the cup, may they be healed whole and complete in this moment in Jesus' mighty name. You may take the cup. Did you have anything? Glory be to God. If you can just pass your cups to the inside aisles and we'll collect those. And let me pray for you one more time before you leave today. Father, I thank you so much for who you are, that you're alive, that you're real, and that you're a personal and intimate God. I pray for us, for this congregation, in Jesus' mighty name, that we would know you more this day than we did yesterday. That we would encounter you moment by moment. That we would recognize your voice. And I just speak that blessing over this congregation. That you know the voice of the Good Shepherd. And he calls you by name. And that you will walk in all that he has for you. That you will fulfill your destiny and be all that God has created you to be. That the joy of the Father is your strength. That you will experience and encounter fresh and anew the love of God in your heart this day. The forgiveness this day in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Father, we thank you, Lord. You are awesome to us, God. We glorify you, God.